We're disciplined stoners.
The gateway drug to mindfulness.
Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit. Gateway drug to...
Hey, Wynn!
Oh, my... Yes?
We got a new thing.
Oh, right. We need to tell you about our new thing.
Support the show now on Patreon and get a bunch of private perks.
We found it.
Okay. Well, we're rolling.
Welcome back to another episode of Disciplined Stoners.
I'm your host, Eleven.
My name is Winnie.
And we are the gateway drug to mindfulness.
That's really caught on. Does anyone out there tell their friends about our podcast?
It's like, say, what are you listening
to?
They're
kind of like this gateway drug to mindfulness if you've never...
Oh, they're like the gateway drug to mindfulness, but, you know, no big deal. But they're also, one's an actor and one's a rapper, but they're like just totally the gateway drug to mindfulness. So
I wonder if anyone ever tells their friends about me.
Do you want to brag about this? Do you want to brag about what we're smoking today?
Yes.
We just dove right in. We got hot energy coming right off the top.
Everybody, grab your joints. Grab your joints, your edibles, your oils, your vapes, your pills, capsules, because pills
grab
is a weird word, I guess. Capsules.
Oh, yeah.
And topicals. Please go ahead. Today we are lighting up Khalifa Mints by Ghost Drops.
Wow, wow, wow. And we've
congratulations
been loving Ghost Drops.
To Ghost Drops. They just opened their store up on Queen this past weekend. That's pretty exciting.
It's very exciting, yeah.
And it's also really cool that they were a legacy market brand first, and a really well-known legacy market brand, which...
they're just really dope.
One of the only successful legacy brands to move over to the legal market so far. I'm sure there's more to come, but they're one of the first, so...
And it was founded by Travis Organic.
Cool.
Who started KOTD.
King of the Dot.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is fucking awesome. So it's like, this guy's manifested like rap and cannabis. How is he not my favorite person on the earth?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and their weed has just been top notch. Best on the legal market since it came out in Ontario, so obviously.
Shout out to Travis Organic and the good folks at Ghost Drops. And the new store, flagship store, I guess, right? Their first one on Queen, which was High Variety, which.
Yeah, they just, OG. I guess they came and bought them out.
Or collabed. Brought it together, but regardless, we love what's happening with Ghost Drops. Yep. 1 gram blunt, Khalifa Mints,
yeah,
Khalifa Kush. You get that like wonderful, it's soothing,
yeah,
but it's also like up,
yeah,
it's like euphoric and relaxed.
It's a hybrid, it's
perfect,
yeah.
And then the mints is mint kush, yeah,
yeah. I don't know, I'm not sure, but I'm very excited. So we've smoked this once now, so we're going to try it again here a second time.
Yeah.
And it's wrapped in a blunt.
It's kind of nice. And it's a yerba mate blunt, or what is this?
I don't know. It can't be tobacco, because you can't sell tobacco and cannabis at the same
time. Yeah. Maybe it's cannabis. Maybe it's cannabis leaf. Who knows? Anyway, good stuff, and we're excited for that. Wynn, how's your week been?
It's been good.
Since we talked to you guys... Your mom was here.
Yeah, how cute was that episode? Cute. How cute was that episode? My mom was like, afterwards, she was like, she was like really nervous that whole time, which, I think it's so good to do things that make you nervous. I think you feel alive and...
Yes.
I don't know, it just like does something to your body.
I forget about non-performers. Everyone I know is such a capable on the mic. And it's just so cute to have our parents on.
But we've had a couple people on. So
yeah, I know. I remember every time.
Not done podcasts before.
And that's totally, this is a safe space for that. I'm just saying like, it's so cute. And like, I remember that like, these are real people's lives that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, cause like something happens to us and we're like, haha, it's part of something we're creating. Some people just like live with their life. You know, when something happens for us, it becomes a stand-up set, a song,
right,
in a movie. I can use this for content. But, like, asking people to talk about their journey that they haven't, like, purposely documented or they're not, like, trying to, you know, publicize. Yeah. It's such a different experience talking to someone who does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess so great. I guess when you use your experiences within your art. You okay there? When you use your experiences within your art, it's a way of processing, maybe, mm-hmm. whereas, you mm-hmm. know, some people don't have access to that yes. type of movement within their own emotions.
Ooh, that's really good. We should touch on that. What a blessing art is, or what an incredible gift being able to create and cathartically, like, process your emotion is.
I think so many people can connect with that, whether you call yourself an artist or not, because everyone was 13 years old listening to the love song of that time and just bawling their heart out in a broken heart, whatever that was. It could have been a best friend tiff. It could have been like a boy that you liked or a girl that you liked that like blew you off or whatever. Like, we were so dramatic.
And a girl that I liked blew me off?
We were so dramatic when we were 13 that, like, we used music to help us
or film
process, like, automatically or film. Yeah, or, like,
yeah, cathartic motion.
But music specifically, like, I rocked to Alanis Morissette. Like, she helped me fucking
sing with me and Tupac.
Get
and Eminem.
Things out of my system. That love like that. we didn't talk about. I think
shout
now,
out Alanis Morissette.
Oh. What a beautiful person.
And artist, and her husband's cool too.
Yeah. I wonder if she still has her podcast. I was listening to her podcast for a little while. She's just so...
She's super aware.
Grounded and calm. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love you. Love you guys.
We love you, Alanis Morissette.
And your awesome husband. but yeah, life... So your mom was here. We went out with my mom, and then the following week, we got a week to kind of rest, and then my dad showed up. My dad's here.
Yeah, so
we're going to have him on.
Him and your mom on, and then we'll have to have my dad on the next time that he's in town.
Eventually.
Yeah.
If not, maybe when we're there.
Yeah.
It would be so cool to do a podcast episode like this, like in his tool shed with him or something.
That would be cool.
He's a genius.
His tool shed's out of control. He has so much stuff in there.
Winnie's dad is a genius in a way that I'm like a genius, and Winnie's a genius in the way that my dad's genius. Mm-hmm. Like, their genius individually correlates.
Mm.
And then me and her dad are like engineer minds, like, but mine is just intellectual assets like art or music, and his is like building physical, like mechanical things. And then, like, my dad's all about the chill, all about the making people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Same with Winnie.
I think the first time that I went over to your dad's house, I just fell asleep on the couch because he just, like, made me feel so at ease.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm safe here, huh?
Yeah. That was so sweet and nice. So we'll have him on and we'll get to talk about why the fuck he's like that.
And then, when you say, like, the you marry your parents thing is very real. Because on the surface, you look at my dad and Evan, and you would be like, no, they're complete opposites. But once you get to know both of them, their tendencies are...
almost identical.
Yeah.
We react in the same way in the same moment, and then look at each other like, I don't like you, leave me alone. But, like, we're actually identical. Like, I'm not like you.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, but then it's like, fuck, I am. I've recently accepted it, and it's been a lot easier for me. I think he's still on his way to accepting it.
Yeah.
It's harder for him because he's the OG.
Yeah.
So I'm the young one. So I'm able to be like, oh, cool. Well, I may not agree with everything, but I'm seeing that it's identical to how I act.
I don't even know if he can see the similarities just because of his belief of how different the two of you are.
Yeah, we definitely on the surface operate a little bit differently, fairly differently, but
ultimately, and are just interested in different things.
Like, yeah, and we're so both interested. Like, in my world, if you can't make a song or something, then I'm like, what are you doing? And in his world, if you don't have like a flatbed truck or can't like move large items and like work on the farm, it's like, what are you doing? Like, what value are you? So we don't understand each other, but I think we respect each other. Like, from afar, it's nice.
He offered to get you a job at, like, a place that he was working at, right? Like for a minute?
He doesn't want me to do bad. He just, I think, at one time wanted me to do well in the only way that he knew how to, like, do well. You know, like, everyone's, like,
in his mind, he was helping you.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, in turn, helping his daughter. by like
yeah
making a work.
I know he really loves me.
He really loves you. Yeah. It's so funny. My parents like talk about you when you're not there, and like they care about you and like you. I feel like there's a very nice harsh line between your parents and me, more so your dad. I'm just like, yeah, as far as it concerns Winnie, bye bye after that. Like, it's not like me and your
mom. Not my mom.
My mom, your mom loves me. She talks about me because, like, she likes my music and she's so sweet and, like, loving, cute, like a mom. But, like, we don't really talk that much beyond you, which is so funny because I don't mind that. And you and my parents have all this, like, abundant, hilarious love to give, and you soak that up. Whereas, yeah. like, I don't soak... I'm not a soaker... Like, I'm a giver of love. I'm not a soaker-upper that much of love.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, I think your mom would probably give me more soft mom love if I... If I try to be available for it, but I'm also just, like, kind of just rapido, you know?
I know, you are... You're a missile.
But I love those guys. Yeah. But I do, especially with your dad, it's like, yep.
I mean, he does that with me too.
With everyone,
yeah, that's so not even out of the ordinary. I will say,
if anyone met my dad at a bar, you'd feel like his best friend.
Yeah, well, Joe can be anyone's best friend.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I will say though that I am an incredible daughter-in-law.
You are beyond good. Like you, specifically to my mom as well. I mean, my dad loves you so much, but, like, you've actually given my mom more labor hours than, like, potentially I have. No, that's not true. But, like, you agree. Since we met.
Might be close.
No, but it might be close. Me as a teenager, no way.
Yeah.
But since we met.
Well, I didn't know your mom then,
yeah,
Evan.
Yeah, I know exactly. That's why I always say it's too bad we didn't know each other so you could do errands for my mom when I was a teenager. I'm just kidding. But I'm not, though. And it's all true, but it's also all a joke. And nothing's really too serious. I've really been on that wave lately. Like, dude, nothing's serious. Relax.
Yeah.
Like, stop taking yourself so seriously.
I've been taking myself seriously. I had two really good potential jobs, acting jobs that were very close to me. And I didn't get either of them, and it hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And you know what? I was scrolling Instagram recently, and the actress Kaylee Cacao or whatever her name is, she was on that really famous sitcom that is now not in my mouth words. No, the one with the very smart boy fella. Tall, thin, smart. He's very smart.
Big Bang Theory?
Big Bang Theory. She's on that. She was the first female cast in that. And she said that she missed out on a role for... something. I don't remember what it was, but apparently another actress, Kate Hudson, got the role instead. And she said, Kaylee said that she was up all night crying. She was crying. She wanted it so bad. And then the next day she got an offer for a movie that like she really wanted to do and she wouldn't have been able to do if she had gotten that other role.
Oh, yes.
And I was just like, And that's fantastic. That doesn't always happen, but like I do believe that things roll out in good ways. But just the fact that she had all of this career under her belt already, she had been acting for a long time, like financially she's doing really well, she's hot in the industry right now, like all of these things have happened. And then just still that human fact that she was bawling. She can't believe she didn't get it. I was just like, fuck.
Disappointment is real no matter where you're at in your life.
Exactly.
You want the thing that you want that's simply just out of reach at the moment.
Yeah.
All the time.
And when you don't get it, man, I was bummed. I was bummed that I didn't get these two roles. And I've been riding sort of like a realistic wave since that, and I'm coming back up off of it, but yeah, it just made me sad. I want to act.
that's a-okay. I think like that pain that you accept in these hard moments that feel like they suck is the toll that you pay. It's like a desire toll that you pay for when you get it and it feels good. You know, I've been trying to go with the theory that you can have light and you can have happiness without the darkness for some years now. And every time something comes up where it's appropriate to keep measure for that sort of thing, it's like, no, you need the darkness for the light. Sorry. Like, cause I want to be happy all the time, but it's not the way that this dimension works. This dimension is duality. So it's like it is in fact creating relevancy for how good it will feel when you get it. And that's why the trick is just persistence, like to fulfill your desire.
Mm-hmm.
Like the idea of success. Success by definition is pursuit of an ideal. So like definite pursuit of an ideal, that's success.
Mm-hmm.
So you are in succession of the time that it does feel good from the time that it didn't. So it's all relevancy. So it's like that pain is the space in between.
Yeah.
And like when you get your hopes up, and we're talking about this, things are in queue in your life. And this is part of a Discipline Stunners company culture here, just like the defenseman. Things are in queue and they manifest at their own time. So the universe is like, it's like you send the order in, just like a waiter goes and tells the kitchen, types it in, they make it, then they bring it out to you, right? It's not just like that. It takes time, so it's in queue. And the more you realize that when you let your attention go from it quicker, it speedily drops into the queue. All the things that are stuck in queue are the ones that we can't stop thinking about. And we're focusing and we're holding them and we're choking them and they're shrinking. As we look at them, they're shrinking. So it's like you have to do the thing you love and let it go. Because then you're letting it expand in that kind of special, magical place.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I just find myself, the more I like wish to let it go, like there's a processing time, I guess, for that too. Like,
oh, dude.
Just like sometimes you just can't let it go for a minute. Like, can you? Like, can you just be like, I'm going to let this go now? And if like it's still sitting in a block inside your body.
Like, or even if it's good. Even if it's exciting. Like you can't stop thinking about it because you're excited about it. You'll scare it away.
Well.
Can't scare it away. You got to let it be. You know why? Do you know what the correlation is there?
Hmm.
Actually believing you deserve it, self-worth.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I gotta look, I deserve it. I am the slave. It is the master.
And more than that is believing that it will happen. And I'll give you an example of an Abraham.
Let it find its momentum way back to you. If it's not here right now, it needs to find its momentum back way to you. It's in the third dimension. You lie to yourself and you get it done in your head. And that's fine. You can cause a little result here of a system that's already been, you're only playing with matter that already is in the third dimension. With this stuff of manifesting fresh experiences and even things, you have to let it appropriate itself in your experience. You can't just jump out of a dimension that doesn't warrant itself. Even if it's just thinking about that type thing positively. But what was the Abraham you were going to mention?
Fuck, I just got a comedy idea and I can't not write it down.
Nice.
Excuse me.
Abraham, I'm sure, talks about the process of letting go, which is always the really challenging part to manifesting is letting go because we want it so much. And like I mentioned, it wouldn't feel as good if we didn't want it so much when we got it. So it's a conundrum there. We have to feel without to get fulfilled.
Yeah, and the example that I was talking about, Abraham has used this multiple times, is this woman who really, really wanted to be pregnant. She just wanted to be pregnant and wasn't happening.
Baby inside me!
And they were going through processes, and then eventually, over time, she comes back and she's pregnant, and there's no more uncertainty. There's no more worry left in her vibration. And but there's no baby yet. She doesn't have a baby. What she wants is not in front of her. Like, she wants a baby. It's not in front of her. But she believes that it's coming. Based on science, of course. But for that to be relevant to us is that we must believe that it's coming in order for the full manifestation to actually happen. And, like, sometimes I just don't think that we do. Like, I've had moments in the last couple of days where I'm like, maybe I won't act again. Like, I just don't.
No.
I just, in those moments, just didn't have the belief. I'll get back to that belief, of course. And, of course, I'll act because I want to. So there's no one stopping me. I can do it right now. Like, there's a couple people watching this. So I can just turn this into an act if I want.
Exactly.
So you're I can always doing act. But.
You mean book a role as part of a current production. But, like, you will, though.
Act full time.
You just know.
Get paid
to. You know you will. You know you will.
I have in the past. It just didn't stay. So it's really interesting, like, where I'm at right now. Well, then it
didn't manifest because the belief didn't stay.
Well, exactly. So that's where I'm, like, being open. And this is maybe not one of my most, like, high vibration moments.
No, but that's what we're actually interested in this podcast.
Yeah.
When I listen back to this when I'm 60, I'll be curious to
see. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. What's up, 60-year-old us? All right. Dude. Congrats. yeah, the progression of learning to let go is extremely difficult. What was I just saying before that? Oh, yeah, the roadmap. Like, I'll be curious to see how you dealt with the dark times as much as I'm curious and excited to rejoice in the joy of the good things that happen. I want to see your roadmap now of how you deal with it. Same with myself. I even listened back to, like, episode one, and I was so – I thought this podcast was going to be me channeling for an hour every time, and that was still our 11th episode, right? Yeah. It's like everything I'm saying is, like, got to be quotable. You know, and it's just like I found
that'd be sweet.
Yeah, I found something new, and there's so much more in depth resonating with the quotes that do come through when we're just more relaxed.
Yeah.
Now, but you know, it's just different. It's just like a different approach, and yeah. So please do tell us how you get out of it when you or. Not even get out of it. Tell us how you are exploring just feeling doubt for a minute.
Yeah. So, again, I think I'm taking this as a win even right now. Like, even today, like, Ev woke up and was, like, high-flying today.
I came out of my meditation. Like, I could have been on the Ellen show today.
Yeah. And sent me all of these beautiful affirmations about our life and about our future and about me and how, you know, what I do in my future. And I just started bawling at work and, like, sent him a picture of me crying because I couldn't say anything.
Which I love that vulnerability so much.
And I think, like, now that I'm reflecting on the day and reflecting on the last couple of weeks, the last couple of weeks since Ace passed, really, I've been going up and down. I've been going more up and down than I remember.
That'll send you into some feeling vibes, you know?
Sure. And so, like, Abraham talks about steps, where step one is you ask, step two, the universe gives it to you, step three, you line up with the vibration of your asking. Step four, the manifestation occurs. And step five is being back in step one, but not being mad at yourself for it. Yeah. So you never live without contrast, like 11 was saying, without duality at the beginning. It's that you learn to, like, love yourself within the shit.
Yes.
Within the tornado of your crazy emotions and your whatever you're going okay, this is what I'm feeling right now. This is what this is right now. I'm not going to beat myself up for it. I'm not necessarily going to change the what's happening right now. Like
stop reacting to yourself. Like, what is with the constant cycle of guilt?
Yeah.
Reacting to ourselves, reacting. Like, just like, I love me anyway. And if you don't make a good choice, you can be like, better luck next time. Like, I'm still good.
And also just like, I've been meditating. My meditations have been off. This last one today was good. But just like sitting with the dis-ease. It's like you're on top of water and you sort of, you're falling more than you're treading. But treading isn't really the right word for it, because it's more of a buoyant sensation in your body. It's up and down. It's uncomfortable. It's dis-ease. It's new and familiar at the same time, and you're just bobbing up and down. And to be able to sit with that and just like breathe through that and not even necessarily be okay with it, but allow what is happening to occur. I think that's part of getting in tune with your body. We talk about that, and it's really good to feel in tune with your body when you feel good, but it's even like more interesting. Get curious about those uneasy feelings, because there is a lot to be accepted within those, and that just takes practice.
Fuck yeah, practice.
Those are the times. It does feel shittier to be back in step one, to be back in the contrast and be like, fuck this, fuck you, I don't want to be here.
No, why don't you understand that every time you come up on contrast, get out ahead of it and be like, this is an opportunity. Like, this in the little game of life, in this dimension, this is an opportunity right now for, like, me. And I can fucking boss this shit, or I can flunk this shit.
And you can also start with, like, tiny things. Like, my key doesn't open our front door that well, and it takes me a minute. But every time I get frustrated with it, I feel that tense intensity happening in my body, and it gets harder and harder and harder. It won't even move by the end of it. So then I have to say, I can do this. I know how to do this. This happens easily. And just prove like your like mind thoughts, like with little tiny things, because it happens every time. And one more example, it happens in when I'm doing a high intensity interval training class and the cardio section comes up, and during my cardio, I'm saying out loud, yes, 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 yes. If I'm doing mountain climbers, if I'm doing burpees, I say a yes at the top.
Yes.
And it makes it feel so much easier in my body.
Like I mentioned on the other podcast, like it's like even just telling your cells I am healthy when you feel sick, you start to inch towards that better full vibration. And also, like, when you lose something, if you keep focusing on the fact that it's lost, then it is to be lost in manifest. It is, you're creating the problem more. So I've immediately, as soon as I get scared, I'm like, no, I have those. I have that. I can see that. I was happy when I found that. I was happy when I found that. Man, that was in a silly place. Man, that was okay. I forgot it for a second. Man, it's okay that I found it now. And I'm so glad I have it now. I have that. I'm grateful I have that. I know where it is. It's here. I found it. I just found it. And I'm still walking around looking. But I'm saying these things, and before you know it, boom, there it is.
Yeah, that does happen too. We've done that. Yeah,
yeah.
We've done that with keys and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you say like, I know where they are.
I know where they are. I know where they are.
They're here.
Because I used to flip the fuck out. When he gets in time mode and starts to act like a bitch.
Even when I'm not, though, acting like a bitch, you flip the fuck out. If I'm just, like, patiently waiting.
Yeah, Winnie's patiently waiting looks like nothing's done. Like, by the way, like, the stove's on, like, all the lights are on.
The stove is never on.
Okay, not actually, and she does have a good gauge for danger. So if it's anything like that, other than there might be, like, a candle still going that maybe you forgot about. She has a good gauge for danger most times, but unless she doesn't know. So sometimes there's like a candle on.
Rare.
But mainly, well, let's give these people a fair idea to get the advantage of the story, because you do leave a considerable amount of things unfinished.
Undone. Yes, undone. Absolutely.
And for me, Mr. Capricorn, I like to complete the house and even hopefully clean it up a little bit before I leave. So when I come back in, it'll look nice. Winnie's the opposite. She'll just use this bitch and bounce. And when she says it's time to go, she puts her shoes on and goes at the door and turns around and gives me a stare like I am a fucking idiot because I'm not ready on time like her.
Okay.
So I start trying to catch up and going fast, and then I'll try to find something and I'll start feeling the pressure more that I'm making her wait. And then it's like, fuck. And then I start flipping out because I can't find it. And before I learn this affirmation trick, I used to always get sucked down to like, fuck, angry hole. But now I start saying, I know where they are. I know. And it's like I'm playing a fun little game, and then my mood gets lighter, and then we get to go earlier. Nothing's changed about Winnie, but everything's changed about me, and I'm having a better time.
I'm glad that you perceive it that way. I feel the need to defend myself slightly.
What, did that feel like an attack?
Well, it felt like
truths that weren't favorable to you.
Yeah. And also, though, we've been together for 13 and a half years.
And you've done so good in time mode. She's gotten so much better.
And also, I have learned how to
maneuver with and around me.
Yeah.
Yes.
You never have been good at leaving the house. It's like a little bit of a thing.
Are you defending you or putting me down?
No, I'm defending me.
I need some ice cream.
So I just want to say that I generally am okay, if we need to be somewhere by 8, I'm going to tell Ev that we need to be there at 7:30.
Yeah.
So
well,
there's...
Well, now it's smart. You've learned how to navigate.
And then even still, we don't get there till 8:30.
But because you don't go places right on time. You got to be fashionably sexy late.
No, I disagree. That's so disrespectful.
Fuck.
If it's like a party, I think I've learned to chill out on parties. Like if it's a party where lots of people are
going,
I don't give a shit.
Winnie shows up when it's still awkward at parties.
Yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. I agree that that is not the best move. But for like a dinner, a meeting, I like to be on time.
Yeah, I've learned to be on time for meetings. I've done some real shithead moves for meetings before by accident.
Yeah,
I'm late a lot. I've been late a lot.
But that's part of, that's like a function that you just are constantly working at getting better at, and you do.
Yeah, I've just grown up about that.
Yeah.
Only because I want to. And Jim Rohn.
Amen. Thanks, Jim. How's that ice cream?
Doing the trick.
Good. That's great.
It's okay to eat your emotions away. As long as you, stop.
I think any way that you process emotions is okay.
Yeah.
And balance is always key.
Haagen-Dazs helps.
Brene Brown talks about how
Renee Zellweger,
after her TED Talk came out and went viral, got over 10 million views very quickly,
mm-hmm.
She started looking at reviews on the internet and people were just ripping her apart. Just because,
really?
Well, just the probability of people ripping you apart, 10 million people seeing anything, you can't please 10 million people. You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
So people were saying just her things that really are uncomfortable to her. I can't imagine, how can she raise two kids? How can her kids must hate her? Digging in on her little sweet spots that make her feel tender. And she was the best I could do after I read these horrible reviews was Skippy's peanut butter, my couch, and like 9 hours of binge watching or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you. Like, yes, that is real. Yes, we do that.
Yes.
Yes, that is necessary because that is the best that we can do sometimes.
Yeah.
And it can't be all the time because that would be not a life, not a life, not a good life. You don't want to be in that state all the time. But like to have that experience and to bounce back from that, that must be thrilling. Like, look at her life.
I know. That's so fabulous. Shout out her for that honesty. And imagine if we were all encouraged to be that honest early on. Like, you're in class, like, excuse me, I gotta go get a fucking snack. You know? Gotta go get a snack. And they're like, why? So I don't fucking punch you in the face. Like, leave me alone. Like, I need a breather and a fucking mango slice. You know? Like, that should be okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's too intense sometimes.
It is intense, yeah.
Like, you need something, and if you neglect that, then slowly you're like telling your consciousness that it's like just harder here than it has to be.
Yeah,
you can have a nicer time. Like, you know, like, you gotta watch addictions, you gotta keep an eye on addictions, and that's just repeating habits. It could be anything, you know, just like keep an eye, keep the awareness. Like, don't let anything slide behind your like ability to like look at it objectively.
Yeah. And that's why tuning into your discomfort in your body and like sitting with it while, you know, it is uncomfortable to do that is like, I think, a very important part of knowing the whole of you.
Absolutely. And while we're on the subject, I'd like to take the opportunity to address, like, you know, like, we are so pro weed, but we also have those conversations with ourselves of like, what's going on? Like, you know, like, we're going to get a lot of weed this weekend because we're something like, you know, we're going to need to like process something, you know, or just like, we're going to have to stay high all day. Like, we do use it as a medication, but we have those, we take lots of opportunities to check in and the awareness and like how we're using the medicine and, you know, what it's causing and what are some of the benefits of that, and being honest with ourselves with some like funny elements of it, like even like the short-term memory loss. That's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
Which my fun fact might touch upon.
Really? Today. No way. Okay, good. Because I was a little bit second guessing like talking about this. Like, it might sound like I'm putting it down, but it's no, because you got to check in. You can't be too one side on anything.
No.
You got to be like center way with everything and just like check it out. Look at it 360. Have a little gander and awareness. Just check in on like everything, even relationships. Like, what's the basis of that relationship? How can I give the most in it, and how can I receive the most in it? Like, that's good. That's abundant. You know, like, that's nice. Like, and you have to sit around and think about it all day. But like, just next time you think about that person, be like, what do I give them, and what do I receive from them? You know, that often that's just an energetic exchange. You know, it's a confirmation. A lot of people keep I keep so many musician friends just because the confirmation of my identity, and I happen to like those people. But it's like, why? What makes us choose friends? I have these type of friends, you know, and then like some are playing roles actively. Like, when you're engaging with them, like, say, like, I love my band, but like, we don't see each other a lot other than if there's shows.
Yeah.
But it's like, but in those moments where you really do, you fulfill those, or if you book a film with someone,
yeah,
you're friends for life, pretty much. Like, you'll never talk again regularly,
yeah,
but you'll always consider that person your friend. Like, that tour, like, Nico, we don't talk ever anymore.
Yeah.
And like, but we're like best friends, like, on that tour. Like,
and I'm Bethany, sure if you like, saw each other again, it would just be like a...
We'll see Nico and Bethany somewhere. Like, we'll all be in the same city sometime. We'll be like, holy fuck, we'll pick right back up and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. What are those? Those aren't... That's not... I don't... Friend? How do we define friend?
I know. That's such a word. Because that was the name of this of the episode on the last one. But friend is such... Oh my God, it's such a contract. It's such a necessary thing. I'd say like they're like acquaintances, like these people that you really meet and have a great time with, and then maybe you just like move on from, but you'll always consider them a part of your mental faculty of people who you know.
Yeah.
Like I feel like that.
A person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection.
Yeah.
Typically exclusive of sexual or family relationships. Family relations.
That's the definition of friend?
Yeah.
A mutual affection. That resonates the most.
Yeah.
A mutual affection. Friend is a mutual affection. So yeah, it's like, fuck yeah, then. Like, say, someone like Nico is a friend.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and someone like, even like, fucking people who you act with.
Yeah.
You're just like, you're mutually like, hey, that person's dope.
Yeah.
Like, Celeste or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yes, cool. Or like Brigitte. We love Brigitte.
Yeah, we do. We have her calendar.
Yeah. So sweet. Good things, good vibes, good people. Man, this is a fun explorative show.
It certainly is.
We really went places. There's a lot of honesty there.
A lot of honesty.
How do you feel when someone, you know, when you're first hanging out with someone and then you say, like, my friend, like that's like saying like we're going out in like grade six, you know what I mean?
There's always in my adult like, life it's been a process, like my friend Larnie, I remember like telling you like there's this girl Larnie like who's hilarious, like I remember saying that and then like thinking that we could be friends.
We get a lot of dating out of our system with friends.
Yeah.
Because we've been together like through our whole 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get those warm butterflies about new friends.
Yeah.
Like platonic friends.
Yeah. And it's so like when as an adult, I've had these friends for long enough now that they just feel like friends. Like it doesn't feel any, there's no, what is it called at the beginning of a relationship?
Butterflies? Butterflies?
Yeah. When you feel that, yeah, that like, ooh, what's going to happen?
Yeah. Anxiety?
There's none of that really hanging out with like my friends that I have now.
You're more certain that they're a fit.
Yeah. But I think I talked to my friend Alice about when we first started calling each other best friend.
That one I struggle with. You'll notice I don't even call people who would classify as my best friends, who people tell me like, hey, he's your best friend. I don't use that word.
Yeah.
It feels like marriage to me. It's only going to fuck it up. Like marriage too early, by the way. But like, I just think saying someone's your best friend, other than your dog, I call Ralph my best friend.
I think it's cute.
I got that motherfucker tattooed on me. You better be my best friend.
I think it's cute.
Yeah. But cute. Can I ask you something?
What?
Is it okay for your best friend to call other people their best friend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Because Alice does that. She has like six best friends.
But
you guys are the special ones. And of course, they all, everyone feels like this. Like all six do.
I don't think so.
Okay. Hopefully. hopefully, Alice is showing them the chart. Alice was like, Winnie's here.
Honestly,
Strawberry girl's here.
If you've met Alice, though, she makes everyone feel
she's so poetic.
So good.
What she says to me is like, I was like, Alice, you're like wonderful person or something, like just simple in the DM. And she was like, if we measure, fuck, she's so poetic.
Yeah.
If we measure our impact on Earth by the people that we affect and made feel loved, then you, my friend, are an exploding cosmo. Like, she says some shit
know.
Like that. I'm like, what the fuck? You just, like, touch my penis with words. Like, what the fuck did you just do? Sorry.
Yeah, so she does make everyone feel special.
No
but
homo, bro.
It doesn't matter, though,
no,
because
homo, bro. We love homo.
It matters how I feel. So it
no,
doesn't
exactly.
matter
what
she's doing, honestly, with anyone else. Because when I'm with her and the way that we speak, that's how I interpret and
she loves you so much.
I know she does.
She
We're
that
best
girl has
friends.
Your back. I'm like, I'm so happy you have Alice. Winnie surrounds herself with fire. Like she's
so do you.
I am fire. You're water.
Okay.
And that's incredible. That's a fucking compliment, you weirdo. I was saying like it's so impressive. Winnie is like the deep, deep ocean. Winnie's like deep, deep water. Like. Deep water. When I was on acid, I called her this when she was sleeping, and she's like, "That's thanks." And I was like, oh my God, I could feel it. Fuck. Anyway, but you choose really fiery people, like close to you. And it's like a test. Like, we have to be strong enough. Like, I'm such a flame. I can, like, often your average person's flame would run out just being doused with water. I can go down into the water and be like, and be like, relax, because that's my gift. And like other people who have such like active minds who you're very close with, like, would you also say like Paul is your best friend?
Yeah.
Is another best friend?
Yeah.
And they, Alice and Paul and myself are all like brunettes, pretty, and can talk a motherfucking mile a minute.
That's true.
All of us.
Yeah.
And I'd say like that's pretty close. And you're really close with some fairly passive people too, actually.
Yeah.
But it always shocks me when you bring in flames or when you're really close with a flame. But then I realize, no, that has to be the balance. It has to be both. You have to like want the balance. What's that like for you?
It's the best.
Yeah. Do you feel yourself make these choices along the way, or like how does Winnie find friends? Honestly, like, how did this happen?
It was like what my mom said when you was like, you were like, she showed us with acting, like, that's my friend, or like, that's my friend. Mm. Like, there's like, it's honestly just always, it just always works.
Gut feeling.
It's always just like, you feel it. I had it with Justin too, Justin Gerhard. Still do like that like strong connection with him. Like, you're just like automatically like, I want to spend time with you.
All of these people are dazzling. I know. All of these, like Justin, I purposely question my sexuality frequently. Thanks to Justin.
Yeah.
Just like, fuck.
Me too.
Nice. And like, just like good shit. It's just like so sweet. But then it's so fleeting. Like, I like all these people, I like have dazzling love for in the moment, and I feel like connection, but then it's like, it's just come.
That would have been kind of like Nico and Bethany for you too. Mm-hmm. No one knows any of these besides Justin. I'm sure you all know, but we're just talking about our personal lives now.
I think people will know Nico Tortorella, if
yeah,
and Bethany.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Are we ready?
But that was cool though. That was nice to touch on the friends thing, the ideas of how we attract people into our lives and why. Excuse me. Ralph, relax. Do you have a fact?
It's time for a fun fact. Gonna do a slow intro. According to Paul Reber, professor of psychology at Northwestern University, the human brain can store an estimated 2,500,000 gigabytes. That's equivalent to 300 years worth of TV shows.
Yeah, it's infinite. And that's like an untrained brain.
Okay, so that was the one that I wanted to share, but this is another one
when we touched on. You didn't want to share?
Short and long-term memory.
Nice.
Vitamin B1 can help improve short and long-term memory.
Are you serious?
Vitamin B1 is essential to producing the brain chemical acetylcholine, which is needed for concentrating and storing memories. An Australian study revealed that those who consumed B1 supplements and folic acid for 2 years improved long and short-term memory.
Dope. So the B vitamins are magical.
And this also might be something with weed as well for memories. Let me just see it here. I'm looking for it. So when intoxicated, it can't form memories. The brain is incapable of forming memories when you're intoxicated. So no, you didn't forget what happened last night. The memory simply was never formed.
Whoa. You just experience in the present and let it go.
Yeah. Which is so true.
It's so happy because you can just manifest things.
Okay, this has been way too many facts already for fun fact, but I just have to tell you this last one.
Very well.
The brain itself cannot feel pain. Although pain is processed in the brain, the organ itself cannot feel pain. This is why brain surgeries can occur while a patient is awake without discomfort.
What the fucking shit? What the fuck did you say?
I said that the brain itself cannot feel pain.
Because it is the center for processing pain. Oh, my God, that's too trippy. You know what that means? Do you understand what that means?
You're about to tell me.
This isn't this. Oh, it's fucking gross.
Oh, I have one more.
It's just the nerve ending sending the message to the brain of the idea of the sense.
Yes.
Oh, but this is just physical matter. That's so gross.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That's fucking weird.
One more time.
If the rare amount of you who see this reality with me understand what's going on by touching your hand, you're special like me.
Comment if you agree. Neurons travel 150 miles per hour in the brain.
Like such a split second.
So fast.
Dude, think about it. Okay, put your hand down, right? Now, give me a high five. With that hand. Oh my God, Winnie. But you're so cute. I'm just kidding. Nice. Good job.
I'm extremely emotionally intelligent, and that is more important than the other one. There's IQ and EQ, and I rock at the second one.
I agree, and you never let anyone fucking confuse it. Good girl. You never let anyone forget it. Oh, I'm just saying, see that, how it took your hand from there to there?
Yeah.
That signal that it took to, like, tell you, like, you don't even have to think about it. Uh-uh. Like, you can, like...
We don't have to think, like, about so much.
Grab that bowl. Like, you barely have to, you don't even have to, like, here, grab that. Yeah, nice. Ding that bowl for me. Ding for me, baby. Make it the booby bowl and ding for me on your booby bowl. Yeah, ding it and then do that. Bring it close to the mic so the folks can hear it. And say a page number between 231 and 7. Ding it.
Just let me do it.
You got to move your hands down. Yes.
/151.
The Sabbath. Freedom for all. This interval is called the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the mental rest which follows the fixed psychological state. It is the result of your 6 days of work. The Sabbath was made for man. This mental rest which follows a successful conscious impregnation is the period of mental pregnancy, a period which is made for the purpose of incubating the manifestation. It was made for the manifestation. The manifestation was not made for it. Automatically, you keep the Sabbath day of rest, a period of mental rest, if you succeed in accomplishing your 6 days of work. There can be no Sabbath, no seventh day, no period of mental rest until the 6 days are over, until the psychological adjustment is accomplished and the mental impression is fully made. Man is warned that if he fails to keep the Sabbath, he fails to enter into the rest of God. He will also fail to receive the promise. He will fail to realize his desires. The reason for this is simple and obvious. There can be no mental rest until a conscious impression is made. If a man fails to fully impress upon himself the fact that he now has that which heretofore he desired to possess, he will continue to desire it, and therefore he will not be mentally at rest or satisfied.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah, that's why you got to tune in. And you got to start again every time you fail, yeah. Every time it doesn't go the way that you think it should or want it to, you got to start again, because that mental impression is being molded and shaped. And if you go off course and release that mental impression for a little while, that's fine, but you got to come back to it. Just talking to myself right now via acting, that's all.
Good. And then you'll feel the fulfillment, like that sixth day to the Sabbath. And that is why you should always take Sundays off, P.S. And
or like a day. Doesn't necessarily need to be Sunday.
Something like that. And yeah, good stuff. Fucking good jam. Nice honesty. Great concepts.
We didn't even have to think about that high five.
5 out of 5 stars. I know our neural pathways are just going like Nerf balls. So fast. So guys, check this out.
Please give us a 5-star review, please. Please go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and give us 5 stars, David.
Give the stoners 5 stars! Come on!
If you give us 5 stars, then maybe we'll do something for you, you know? Like maybe we'll share a photo from your Instagram on our story or something.
For ya! Give him 5 stars!
Please don't make us share something from your profile to our story. Okay. Let us keep the content regular.
Subscribe.
But please, give us some fucking reviews, comment, guys.
Review.
Give us some reviews, please.
Please.
We need it. Okay?
Come on, please.
It needs to boost in the algorithm.
You can just be like,
we need it.
They're the gateway drug to mindfulness. You don't even have to say you like the podcast.
Just say what it is. Be just like, say, this is Discipline Stoners,
gateway drug to mindfulness, 5 stars. Yeah. You don't have to mention anything else.
Oh, if you want to do something clever, like make gay in the word gateway, like gateway, like it's cool. Like you can even just play with it. I'm saying make it your own. Gateway drug to mindfulness, the gateway.
Why would they do that?
Just because it's fun to play with words.
I think that's misleading.
If you've watched this on YouTube, thanks for making it all the way to that end. You're a true friend. We have mutual affection towards each other because obviously you've watched it to the end, and I appreciate those who do that. So we have mutual affection.
We have mutual affection. You're a true friend.
And thanks to our Patreoners.
Thank you so much to our Patreoners. We love you. So it's exciting times. You're early.
We're building
adapters.
A community. We're building a community over on the Discipline Stoners Patreon. So come and join us. We got exclusive content that's not released anywhere else. Winnie's writing on there. You're getting my blog post before they drop. You're getting every episode before it drops.
And I'm also at the cathedral this Sunday at 10 p.m. if there's any locals that want to come see me do some comedy.
On the Esplanade in Toronto, downtown, going to be a fun night hosted by our friend Brandon Zakai. And I'm going to be there. My dad's going to be there. And this came out on Friday. And hey, guys, happy 420,
happy
by the way.
Happy 420.
Happy. I know it's 422 when this has come out, but yeah, pre-save the link for Oneness is on my story definitely right now. If you want to go check that out, Oneness song with Kia. And Winnie's doing stand-up. I'm dropping music. We're out here fucking killing it, feeling good.
Thank you. We love you.
Oh, one more plug. My book, STFU, Thoughts and Feelings. Get it on Amazon. It's a nice read, short read.
Fucking get it. Get it.
Love you guys.
Get it.
Be well. Do all the things.
So good.
Oh yeah, I wanted to say one last thing. This is for the YouTubers. Apologies for my cough in the last meditation. We're gonna just keep an eye on it.
I'm gonna cut that out.
Why?
Discipline stoners!
The gateway drug to mindfulness.
Gateway. Hey, Wim!
Oh my. Yes?
We got a new thing.
Oh, right. We need to tell you about our new thing.
Support the show now on Patreon and get a bunch of private perks.
Drug to mindfulness, let's roll one up and take a hit. Gateway drug to mindfulness, let's roll one up and take a hit. Gateway drug to mindfulness, let's roll one up and take a hit.